Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from the Gospel according to John, the first chapter. My dear friends in Christ, Luther called the Gospel reading today the highest of all Gospel readings, but by no means an obscure or a difficult one if one takes it by faith. And that's really the thing, isn't it? The historical fact of the matter is that all history testifies that there was indeed a Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that he was crucified by the Romans at the Jewish Passover, and even that he rose on the third day. These things are all beyond historical dispute. And all honest historians must admit that these things did happen. Else they lie, or maybe they're just really bad at their jobs. It's not really surprising, though, that they would deny this, because many are of the world, rejecting the very God who created them. The world will not receive Jesus, neither from the cross, nor the 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus that we celebrate today. But we're not of the world. And we see that all of history, all of creation, points us to this man, Jesus. And to believe that this man, this Jesus, was God in human flesh, that he's truly Emmanuel, God with us, well, that's something that is required to be believed, not just by historical fact, but by faith. It's true, and just because we accept these things by faith doesn't mean that they're not true. In fact, to believe something by faith is the best thing you can do. You believe that Dad is going to be there to pick you up when you fall off your bike and you skin your knee. You believe that Mom is going to be there to kiss that skinned knee. And in this way, we believe that God says it is so, and so it is. There you are relying solely on Him to believe and what He has said. Believing something by faith is to believe according to God's will for you, according to His power. And this is great. There we go. We hear God's holy word, and we trust it. This is good stuff. We believe it according to His power. He provides all that we need for our body and our life, including the ability to believe Him. But this isn't just about the idea that we believe God's word by faith, or that we just believe something by faith. We're called this Christmas day to believe that the very God who spoke the universe into existence, the very one who formed Adam and Eve with His hands, the very one who has all power and honor and glory and might and blessing, came into our flesh and did so by taking on the flesh of a baby whose birth we celebrate this day. You see, we don't take this text lightly because it speaks of the King of the universe who takes on our flesh. We open wide our hearts and our understanding to look at these words not as insignificant, perishable words of mankind, only to be trotted out once in a great while, but to contemplate them as the great words that they are, which speak of the Word made flesh. We take these words to reveal a part of the great mystery of the Incarnation, that God loved you so much that He sent His Son into your flesh so that He might redeem every aspect of your humanity. There was a saying in the early church, it holds true today, that which Christ did not assume, He did not redeem. Now, this was a warning as to those who would limit what Christ redeemed in His sacrificial death for you. Different heresies have popped up over the years, things that would say, well, Christ did not have a human soul. Well, we would say if Christ did not have a human soul, he could not have redeemed yours. Or Christ didn't really have flesh, he only appeared to have flesh, like the angels do. But if that's true, he couldn't redeem yours. If Christ didn't experience what you experience, if he didn't have grief or sorrow or pain, he couldn't redeem yours. But our Lord did have these things. He felt all these things. The Word made flesh, who dwelled among us, experienced all of human life, literally from the moment of conception unto his death. He felt satisfaction and pleasure. He probably had fun and made jokes. He loved his mother. He loved his father, his friends, his family. Jesus Christ, the Son of God from all eternity, felt all these things, went through all human life that he might redeem it all for you. In his death, all of the human experience was, well, it's like one of these air mattresses, right? You hit the switch one way and it sucks up all of the air in the room into itself to fill itself up. And then you open the valve and all the air is expelled in a single moment of swoosh. Our Lord took into himself all of human life and experience on the cross. And at his death, as the wrath of God poured down upon his head, as he was counted the greatest sinner of all time, he spoke the words, "It is finished." In all of your life, all of your experiences, all of your grief and your sadness and your pain and your happiness and your joy flowed out of him, redeemed, made holy for you. The light of the world, come into flesh, made all things good for you in his death. And more than that, he gives you these things so that you might have them eternally in his resurrection from the dead. And that is your resurrection. You will never run short of these things, even though sometimes we feel forsaken as we continue to live in this sin-filled world. He does not forsake you. In fact, you are called by Jesus, who is the Son of God, a child of God. Jesus is God's Son, of the same substance of the Father and the Spirit, and Jesus then does not lie. So if the Son of God calls you a child of God, then a child of God you are. And children of God, just as the only begotten Son of the Father does, children of God live forever. And if they live forever, then they will have, for they already do have, every good gift from the Father. You already have every good gift from the Father. You do. And they were given to you in the place where you were first called a child of God. They were given to you in your baptism. For in the font, the Holy Spirit delivers to you the redemption of Christ, won for you upon the cross. In the font comes the cross for you. And there you are washed. You are made clean in his blood, so that you might be adopted as the children of God, snatched out of the hands of the father of the world, Satan himself. And as that cross comes to you, you are claimed as a child of God, covered over in the blood of Jesus himself. And Jesus, the Son of God, who spoke all things into existence, the one who literally owns and rules over all things, in his name, God, his Father and your Father, gives to you as a co-heir with Christ every good thing. In Christ, in the Word made flesh, you are an heir of all things. But it doesn't just stop there. For the flesh of this child, Jesus, the same flesh that he has as he grows into a man and is crucified for the forgiveness of your sins, that same flesh and blood is given to you even today, strengthening you into life everlasting in his name. You feast today on Christ, who is the bread of life come down from heaven. And you are strengthened, and you are forgiven, and you are preserved in the one true faith unto life everlasting. And that's all because you believe. You believe not just in some spirit of Christmas and not in the feely-good feelings of the season, not just in Santa Claus, not in being a good person. You believe in Jesus Christ, the object of your faith. You believe in his name, the Gospel of John says. And through that faith, it is given to you as pure gift from God himself. God gives you the right to be called his child. Whether you're as small as the 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus, grown into an adolescent as Jesus was in the temple, or fully grown as the adult Jesus we see, even as he bled on the cross. Jesus gives you the right to claim this all by faith, which believes his word. It's not hard for us to understand. It's simple if one believes. We see our Lord, we celebrate his birth, his coming into our flesh this day, and we believe this. We remember his blessed death, his life, his cross, his passion, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, from which he will come back to judge the living and the dead. We celebrate it all by remembering our baptism and by eating and drinking at his altar and hearing the word of God preached and read and proclaimed to us that our sins are forgiven and that we are his. All of Christ's life. And we weren't there to see any of it, but our Lord is living and reigning even now, and you are living in the very day in which our risen Lord lives. Still, though, we weren't there in Israel. 2,000 years ago that night when the angels proclaimed the Lord's birth, we weren't there to watch him grow. We weren't there to hear him teach or to see his death or to witness his resurrection or to marvel at his ascension. But the story has been told to us through the ages, even until today, and is given to us through the very word of God, so that you might believe in his name and be his child. And so you are today his child. You have been fed as his child. You've been washed as his child. You will live forever as his child, for you believe in his name. His resurrection is your resurrection. And life eternal has come to you by his name, by his work, by his will. Emmanuel, God with us. God is with you this day and every day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.